Everybody, and we're talking about what's that? That energy power or energizer. And I was looking the other night at Fox News. I don't know if you saw this, but you know this monster. What's that monster drink? Have you seen that monster drink? Have you seen the Fox News about Monster? It's a Facebook. You had that one. It's the Jewish number. That's a 666. So almost, I mean, there's a lot of people are drinking, sipping that drink. That's produced by the. By the that 666. Okay. Anyway, that thanks, Herb. This morning I just wanna share with you a message that I think it's been the theme for this month and the other last month is about the end times, right? But how many of you remember what we have studied about that character in the Bible last week about Ehud? Does anybody remember Ehud? He's a left-handed guy, right? Can you remember the four things that we have studied last Sunday? What are those four things that in order to be successful in life, there are four things that we studied. Can somebody read in their notes? Okay. And we need to utilize our strength in order to be successful. We need to utilize. You cannot just sit down there and wait for the Lord, but you have to utilize it, use it. And number three, we need to have a plan, right? And then number four is seize every opportunity that we have. Amen? And this morning, I have this this message that I believe it's talking about also the end times. And I want you to open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. That's before 2 Kings. We're going to study another Bible character. And we're going to read chapter 19, verses 1 to 18. And this is another character that it's in the Bible. And his name is what? Is who? Anybody? Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. Are you all there? Verse 1. 1 to 18. Are you all there? Amen. 1 Kings. No, it's only one or two people. Is they looking for that 1 Kings? 1 Kings. Chapter 19. Are you all there? Yeah. Okay. Verse 1, it says, now Ahab. Last week was Ehud. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his seven servant there, while he himself went a day journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have not enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no longer than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he get up and he eat and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Anyway, by the way, can you remember where did Moses go to see the presence of God? Mount Horeb. It's the same place that Elijah went to. So then a great powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophet to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nissi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mehola, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death and any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have now bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouth have not kissed him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We pray for your Holy Spirit to open our heart and our mind that this story about Elijah, Lord, that we can learn from, that there's a lesson for us to learn from him, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that with us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you and we serve, we love you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Elijah. How many of you remember Elijah? Elijah in Luke chapter 1. Let's look up Luke. Luke chapter 1. That's in the New Testament. Luke, Dr. Luke, chapter 1. And verse 17. Actually, we'll take that verse 11 so that we can see the story within that verse. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of the incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name of John." They're talking about John the Baptist, right? Amen. So he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. He's talking about John the Baptist. Okay? Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of what? Of Elijah. So there is the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John the Baptist is connected to Elijah's power and spirit of Elijah, that the spirit of Elijah will be in John the Baptist. Right? We have the spirit of Elijah and the power of Elijah, the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to their children and to disobedience to the wisdom of righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen? So now, I want you to turn your Bible again in Malachi. In the Old Testament, it is just from Luke, go to Matthew, and then the next one there is Malachi. Turn left. The last, I think Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Right? Are you there? Malachi chapter 4. Are you there? Amen. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Surely the day is coming." The day is coming. "It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. There will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel." Listen to this. "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their third children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with the curse." A lot of theologians, they believe that Elijah will appear before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So there's that part, says the day of the Lord. And that's why if there's something, if the spirit of Elijah is upon John, and the spirit of Elijah and the power of Elijah is on John, and we know that Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, is also saying that the day of the Lord will come, and Elijah, that it says, "I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the father to their children and the hearts of the children to their father, or else I will come and strike the land with the curse." So if that day of the Lord is going to come, do you think there's something that we can learn from Elijah? There's a lesson that maybe we can help prepare us, right? or the day of the Lord is gonna come, because before Jesus Christ, Elijah is gonna come. I think that's a lot of theologians is that's their what's the study of end times? Eschatology. That Elijah is gonna come, and the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So Elijah is a, the Bible doesn't say anything about his beginning or end. And we know that Elijah, he is one that he was snatched by God. It's not through no chariot, but it's the whirlwind that took him over. And there's another one. Who is then another one? Another one that was, he was walking with the Lord and he's gone? No? Can't remember. Enoch. Enoch is another one. So we need I believe that we need to know what is Elijah? Who is Elijah? How can we learn Elijah? But the Bible says that he has a scroll of prophets. And he had an encounter with the prophet of Baal. The prophet of the prophets of the of Baal. And there's what 500 prophets that Elijah, the Bible says that he killed these 500 prophets, and then the next Jezebel learned that he killed her prophet, and he told Elijah, you know what? Tomorrow I'm gonna mess up your day. I'm gonna come and I'm gonna do what you did to my prophets. And then what do you know what did Elijah do? He ran. And he was stressed out, and he ran away, right? And hopefully we that's the story that he ran and he hide. But then God told him to come back, and he did. He called all the prophets, and they have to put a fire, and the prophet of Baal had to pray. But then the fire did not come. But then Elijah pour out water, 3 gallons or 4 gallons of water, and then he prayed, and the fire comes. So that's the story of Elijah. But I want to know what lesson that we can learn from him this morning. So I got 5 lessons that we can learn from the life, from whatever Elijah learned, from what he's dealing with the Lord, with God. So the first thing that the title of my message this morning is 5 lessons that Elijah learned. And I want to learn. How about you? You want to learn? Because the day of the Lord is a dreadful day. We want to learn what can we do? What are the things that we can learn from the life of Elijah? The first thing that I learned from Elijah is the lesson of provision. Faithful as God's spokesman, Elijah pronounced God's judgment of drought in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.'" See, the only problem with the prophets is that when they say something, and especially it's a negative thing, there's a lot of people that's gonna try to kill them because they don't wanna listen about those bad things. So they wanna kill him. And here Elijah pronounced that there will be drought in the valley. Right? So but God says, you know what? But I will feed you. In verse 4 of chapter 17. But in chapter 17, verse 4, it says, but God says, I will feed you, drink the water in the brook, and I'll send raven to feed you. So Elijah, that's why he has that power, that energy, that spirit to proclaim that drought, because he knows that God provided, will provide for him. Even though he will proclaim drought, but God says, but Elijah says, how can I proclaim drought and then you're gonna feed me? But God said, you know what? I have a raven restaurant that will bring food for you. See? In verse 4, it says, chapter 17, I'll feed you, drink the water of the brook, and I'll send you raven to feed you. But Elijah says, but the brook is drying. There's no water. How can you feed me? But just go ahead and proclaim what I tell you to proclaim, prophesy over the Israel. And he had to. Elijah was to be faithful because God said he would provide. How many of us here this morning that we are dependent, that God has provided, there is a provision in each one of us? Amen. So that we can learn that regardless of the negative things in our life, but you know what? God is always provide you. Amen. There's a provision. And I believe this church, probably all of us could stand and witness to our environment, to our surrounding, that God has provided our needs. Amen. There's a provision. You will drink this from the brook, and I have ordered the raven restaurant to feed you there. Amen. The raven. And God provided for his prophet. When Elijah moved on, he was not deterred by small amount of the flour left. Remember that flour left? That when he went, and then God says, you know, go to that place because there is a widow and a son that he will provide you for the flour. And then when he asked to that widow, and the widow said, you know what, I only have one jar of flour and a bottle of oil. But Elijah said, you know what, you will never run out of that flour. You will never run out of that oil, but just make a bread for me. See? So that's why we can learn. First thing that we can learn with Elijah, he has that power and the spirit. Power and spirit that he has. That he knows that God is able to provide him for his needs. Amen? He knows that God will not fail him. He had already learned a lesson that God would provide, and that he taught that lesson to turn to the widow. Amen? And he could have learned that lesson too from Abraham. Abraham learned it when Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for burnt offering. Remember, Abraham and Isaac. Where's the lamb? Dad, where's the lamb that we're going to sacrifice? And then Abraham said, you know what? God will provide. Amen? Are you with me? Provision. Provision. Amen. I think I will stand a whole night to proclaim that you know what? God has provided us. Amen? And even Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, anybody can quote that for me. Anybody? Philippians chapter 4. For my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So, our church learned that one too. So, the first one that we learned from Elijah's life is that the lesson of provision. Okay? Number two, not only that we have the lesson of provision, but also Elijah learned the lesson of patience. When the widow's home, Elijah was secured but secluded away from the scene of action, Israel, his appearance in Ahab court had been dangerous mission. He said, listen, Ahab, God will judge his people. So Baal is the god of fertility and good crops, is he? But I am the prophet of Jehovah, and I challenge Baal to a war. And Elijah had warned Ahab, there will be neither dew or nor rain in the next few years except by my word. So there is that prophecy or word of Elijah given to Ahab that there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. So Elijah, for the next 3 years, there is no activity. There is no rain, never dew, no rain. And sometimes, if there is no activity, we feel like, man, we become anxious. What's wrong? There's no activity in the church. Right? So we become anxious. We want to do something so that there's an activity. But here, Elijah learned to be still. Amen? And it says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. So Elijah didn't say, all he did is proclaim that there will be drought. And he didn't do for the next 3 years. The Bible says there is no activity. But he learned to be patient. So do you think we can learn to be patient when there is no, God is not talking to us or he's not doing anything? Amen? That's the thing that we have to learn from Elijah, because he learned to be patient. Imagine that, you know, he's an active guy. He's an action guy. Relentless. But then suddenly Elijah has to wait for a minute. They wait and wait and wait. And sometimes there's a problem with all of us, is that when we wait, we cannot wait. We want to do something. We want to go ahead with God instead of waiting. Amen. So I that's another lesson that we can learn. We can learn from Elijah. Amen. And some have no energy for God's work, no concern about it, and there is no zeal for Jehovah. But then Elijah, he is zealous. He's kind of, God, what do you want me to do? He's an action guy. Amen. So not only that, we can learn from Elijah, the lesson of provision and also the lesson of patience. But then number three, we can learn from Elijah the lesson of power. There is that power. In Mount Carmel, Elijah learned the lesson of the power of God in answer to prayer. The test by fire was for Elijah a venture of faith. He was willing to rest everything on God's willingness to answer, and God did answer him. In 1 Kings chapter 18, are you still in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36? Are you there? Chapter 18, verse 36. Are you there? Okay, this is the story about verse 30. We'll start verse 30. Then Elijah said to all people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruin. Elijah took 12 stones, for one for each of the tribe descendant from Jacob, and to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug trenches around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bowl into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill our 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again," he said, and they did it again. They pour another jar of water, large jar of water, and do it in the 3rd time, he ordered, and they did it in the 3rd time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am a servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up a sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and all licked up the water in the trench. So there is the demonstration of power of prayer on Elijah. Because they poured out four large jar of water, and fire came down on that trench. So there is a demonstration of power. And in 2 Kings 41 to 45, when Elijah prayed for rain, just the water is just like a rushing water coming down. And then he told Ahab, "The water is coming down, watch out." So he said, there is that torrent, there is that the flow of water is so fast. And Elijah had a faith to believe that the power, that the fire would descend and the rain would fall, and his faith was vindicated by the power of God upon that prayer. And that power still available to all of us this morning. Amen. When we pray, still whatever that the spirit and the power that was to Elijah, God says, you know what, still available for you who believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you watched that War Room? Or that movie? Is that movie? The War Room? Did you watch that one, Sister Myra? Not yet? It's about prayer. Man, that lady, the old lady, man, she could pray. Amen? So that power that Elijah has. Even James tells us, Elijah was a man just like us. So Elijah is just like you and me. Amen? In James chapter 5, verse 17, you want to look up that one? In James, that's going to be in the New Testament towards the end of the book. James 5, 17. Are you there? 5:17. You guys there already? It's good to see that in your Bible, because you will retain it more than you hear it. Okay. Are you there already? James chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 17. Are you there? Are you all there? Okay. It says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produces its crop. So, James, even James is testifying for us this morning that Elijah is just like you and me. Amen? So the question is, are we people of faith like Elijah? Okay? Are we the people of faith like Elijah? Are we willing to pray for God's power to fall, believing so strongly that it will, and it will be in our lives on the result? We will never learn what God's power can do if we do not pray in faith. Amen? See, unless we pray, we have done nothing. Amen? So, the lesson that we learn from Elijah, first one is what? We learn that God provided the needs of Elijah. There's a provision. And number two, we learn that, what's that? That Elijah is patient. And number three, there's that Elijah learned that God, when we prayed, God provided, answer our prayer. Amen? And number four, what did we learn from, what lesson we can learn from Elijah? The lesson of preservation. One person in Israel was not impressed by Elijah's prayer for God's answer of fire and rain was Jezebel. Her threat could hardly be misunderstood. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2, it says, "So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that one of them.'" See, that Jezebel spirit is that it affects to the life of Elijah, because when Elijah hear that, if he only stayed with God, he might have accepted the challenge of Jezebel. But then, what did Elijah do? He was straight up. Think about this. Just think about in our own life. You just slaughtered the prophet of Baal. You know, if you go to different places and do some deliverance ministry. Right? How many of you have been in a deliverance ministry? You go to a certain place and you deliver that person, or you deliver that place because it's there's a stronghold of the enemy in there. So you deliver that place. You should be strengthened, right? Like Elijah, he slaughtered 500 prophets of Baal. He should be excited, right? But yet, he was frustrated. He was scared. He was scared that he has to run from Jezebel. See, that's the power of the tongue. You know, when somebody. You should be strengthened because you killed the enemy, but yet on Elijah, he has that he was scared that he has to run, he has to hide from Jezebel. So we learn, and probably that could apply to our life. Amen. That we could apply in our life, that after we have done. See, sometimes when I attend a conference in the men's or conference, and before the conference is over, I mean, you're excited, right? you're excited, and man, you talk like you're gonna take the city for Christ when you know when you go back to the church. But then when you go back to church and you start to die up, you know, you lose your excitement. And that's what happened to Elijah. He slaughtered this prophet, but then he lose when he stay alone by himself. That's where he loses. He has fear comes to him. And that's how important it is. How important it is when you get together with your brothers and sisters. See, being alone, you're gonna be subject to nobody will encourage you. That's why the Bible, the things that we learn is that we have to be connected with brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Even though how powerful you are, you slaughtered the prophet of Baal, but then when you stay by yourself, you're alone. And that's why the Bible Paul says that we need forbid not the assembling of the brothers and sisters. Because when you're by yourself, there's so much thing going on. And that's what happened to Elijah. But praise the Lord that God is able to preserve him. Amen? God is able to preserve him. God was patient with Elijah, knowing that he is just like a man and that temptation often follows triumph. Amen? You're going to be tempted when you are by yourself. But if you are with your brothers or sisters, there will be strengthening. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. It says there, the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. See, you got to be in the presence of God. Because once you get away from God, then you are in the mercy of the enemy. Amen? And that's why it's important that husband and wife has to talk to one another. And not only that, you have somebody that you can trust that whatever you're going through in life, that they will not take advantage of you. Okay? It's important to have somebody that you can talk to. Amen. That will strengthen you. Amen. And being the presence of God is very much important, and that's what Elijah has. Amen. So see, the greatest times of our weakness often follows the greatest trials of the power of God. How could we go on if God did not preserve us in times of weakness and defeat? See, if God did not preserve us, we could have been gone. Amen? And lastly, not only that we have a provision from God, not only that we have to be patient, okay? And then, not only that there is power when we take by faith what God has told us to do. There is power. And that there is, God will preserve you and me. Amen? When we dare to believe on Him. And lastly, the lesson that Elijah has is that to be in God's presence. Elijah had to run away from Jezebel, but not from God. A voice asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" That's in verse 19. Then he went to a cave and the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied and had been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altar, and put your prophets to the death with the sword. I am the only one that left, and now he is trying to kill me too. But he was in the presence. Elijah is in the presence of God, and that when God told him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, he was shown an awesome display of power. Look at verse 11 of chapter 17 or 19. Are you still in 1 Kings? First King 19. Verse 11. Are you still there? Okay. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. That sounds familiar, huh? Because the same word that he talked to Moses. Remember Moses, when he brought Moses to Mount Horeb? He says, stand and watch me pass by. It's the same word that he used to Elijah. It says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Listen to that. The wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rock before the Lord. So I don't know how the mountain was torn and the rocks was shattered before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. So, I don't know what the eschatology or whatever is going to come for this month, we see that there may be some earthquake, but the Lord is not going to be there. There may be some fire, but the Lord is not on fire. But the Lord probably is whispering to each one of us. Maybe the unrighteous people might encounter that, but for the righteous one, God is whispering in our ears. So if you have not received the Lord, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior of your life today, this might be the day. Because tomorrow, He might come. Right? But he is not in the earthquake. He is not in the wind. He is not on the fire. He might be whispering to each one of us. Amen. As Elijah experienced it. Amen. To be in the presence of God. I think the best place on earth when he comes is in his presence. Amen. And if you have not received him as your Lord and Savior of your life, this is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Shall we all stand? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the story of Elijah. And Father, we pray that for those who have not known you, to those who have not accepted you as their Lord and Savior of their life, Father, this is not by coincidence that you give us this message today.
But you have preordained for us, Lord, for all of us that are here standing before you. God, that you are serious, Lord. That you're not playing games to all of us, Lord. That whatever you said, Lord, will come to pass. Prophecies has been fulfilled. There's only few prophecies that are left. But one thing that we know, Lord, you're gonna come back, Lord. You're gonna come back for your bride. And Father, we pray that you help us prepare. Prepare for your coming, Lord Jesus. But some of you might ask, Pastor Ed, how can I be the bride of Christ? Well, to be the bride of Christ, you have to accept Him as your Lord and Savior of your life. And as we pass this bread and wine this morning to commune with Him, our Savior, our Lord, this bread and wine represent His body that He offered in the cross for our sin, so that our sin will be forgiven, so that our sin will be washed away. Because God could not fellowship with us if we have not received Jesus Christ our Lord, because it's only the blood of Christ that cleanses us. And God could not fellowship with sinners. But that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe by faith that Him alone washed our sin away and made us perfect. He made us righteous. He gave us the privilege to come to Him and receive Him and commune with Him. So this morning, as we pass this bread and wine, don't let this bread and wine pass by you by not accepting Him as your Lord and Savior of your life. It's between you and Him. And all we have to do is receive Him. So I'll pray, and you can repeat after me. I will lead you to this prayer that will help you start your relationship with Him. It doesn't stop there. It will just the beginning. But you have to continue communing with Him, talking to Him. So I lead you to this prayer. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I believe that by going to the cross, you offered your life, your body, and your precious blood to cleanse me so that I may be able to commune with you. And Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life this morning. And I want you to guide me in my daily walk with my Savior, Jesus Christ. I receive you this morning. Take control of my life. I turn it over to you because I want to be with you. In Jesus' name.